On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
You damn right the drive is live. And we got a monster day. You heard the voice. You know it. If you've been around Sports Radio 610 any amount of time, that's Sean Bijani. He is in for Ron the Show Ugly. And here's the deal. Just a little explanation. My man Reggie and my man Ron were both out today. They worked hard. They worked long on Friday, long hours. You got 6A to 6P on Friday. So they took their July 4th vacation day today. So that's why those two guys are not here enjoying a little time
some
with
of that
their
tea
family.
And honey.
Yeah. I got some of that for you. So I want to start this thing off right. I'm going to mention it multiple times today. Big shout out to Ron the Show Hughley and Reginald Atatula for the successful, like uber successful radiothon benefiting the Houston Food Bank. $23,000+ goes a long way. It goes a long way. And, you know, so many times, you know, I'm guilty. We're all guilty. So many times we let folks like Ron and Reggie do something as big as they did on Friday, and then we just sweep it under the rug and we keep this thing moving. We ain't doing that today, man. Hey, I'm proud to be associated with them boys for what they do. And that's not just a one-day, 12-hour radio deal. Those guys put time and effort into it to put it all together, to get all the auction items, the sponsorships, the lineup, and get everybody dialed in. And this year was made even more difficult on those guys because it was July 4th weekend, the Friday before July 4th weekend. And so I want to start this thing off, Bijani, by giving them fellas, a couple of our teammates, a big shout out for giving back in a successful Friday afternoon, man. So big shout out to them boys. They'll be back. I believe I'll be back on air tomorrow. If you out there, the listener, right? If you want to get involved in the show today, 713-572-4610. The text line is open. Sean Bijani is all eyes. We might open them phone lines too here a few times on today's show. We'll see. You can also follow along on YouTube and Twitch. The chat rooms are open. So tune in with us. We got a big show lined up for you. And we got to start right there where the crosstalk started when we sat down. The USA plays Belgium tonight in a round of 16 World Cup game. The U.S., correct me if I'm wrong, Bijani, but the U.S. has never won a World Cup game in this round. Is that correct?
No, everything they've done to get to this point is a first for a World Cup team. You know, the USA, and it's from right here, you feel like it's kind of like icing on the cake. I think if you would have said, hey, yeah, U.S. is going to make it to the round of 16 this year, you tell us that 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, you're like, yeah, icing on the cake the rest of the way through. It'll be fun. But now that you've seen these dudes play and you know what lies ahead of them, it's going to be a tough road with Belgium being a top 10 ranked squad in the tournament this year. France is going to be out there. Portugal and Spain are playing right now. So you're going to get a badass team come from from the winner of this game. I think you've got expectations now for the U.S. Like, keep this thing going. But I don't know that disappointment can actually be a word unless there's some sort of heartbreaking loss here that we're going to be using, you know, lose or draw at the end of tonight.
Yeah, but the reason this is a monster story isn't just because it's a round of 16 knockout game, and if the USA wins, it'll be a monster win, not just for the season, but not just for this year, but in our World Cup history. But the way this thing has all gone down has been absolutely fascinating. So this is a big day for all of us casual fans and the super invested fanaticals in the game of soccer. It's a huge day to have a game tonight of this magnitude. What's fascinating is kind of what's all unfolded since the U.S. was able to win against Bosnia-Herzegovina in that round of 32 to get here where we are today. What many believe are what was the United States best player. Everybody I've talked to has said that he was definitely one of the top two players. Flo Balogun, he was given a red card, missed 30 minutes of the Bosnia-Herzegovina game, which was pretty much in hand. I think the U.S. dominated. I thought the U.S. dominated that game a lot more than even the commentators thought.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's 1-0 at the time when you lose them, right?
Yeah,
but you never felt like that game was in danger of being lost.
Well, I was even like even when Bosnia, they did have a couple of shots, and it was just one of those where defensively we were just smothering them. And so it was just one of those where I just did never feel threatened. And late in that game, one of our best players, one of our best offensive weapons, striker Flo Balogun, got his feet tangled up, was no call in regulation. They go to review it. They throw the red card, which means he's out that game and he's out the next game, right? And then what follows is what's very, very interesting, right? FIFA execs immediately after the game made it clear to reporters that there was no avenue for the U.S. to appeal the red card. So Balogun, they were going to play in the round of 16 with no Balogun. U.S. Soccer even indicated there were no plans to appeal unless there was the suspension was extended beyond one game, then they would appeal it. Well, it was never extended beyond one game. So the thought was, and we did segments on it last week.
Yeah.
I mean, I was hot. I don't even know the rules of soccer, and I was hot. Like, I felt cheated at this point in time, right? But then there was some goings-on behind the scenes. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, made a phone call, and all of a sudden, FIFA did the right thing. Not only did they review what the hell happened in the game and how it was taken from a no call to a red card, and not only did they review it, but they have suspended the one game ban. There's no D on ban, by the way, for U.S. striker Flo Balogun for World Cup round of 16 versus Belgium tonight. Belgium then appealed FIFA's decision, which was dismissed this morning, which means, ladies and gentlemen, we've got our full team. America is whole in round of 16 versus Belgium. We were already the favorite with Balogun out. Is that right, Tyler? We were the betting favorite anyway, were we not?
I believe so, yes, sir.
And so now we've got our striker back. We've got one of our best players back. The outcome of all of this is huge of how it all went down, but I'm telling you, it's fascinating that the President of the United States could step in, basically force a review, get it done, and America's whole, and we got a much better chance of winning this game in round of 16. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, DraftKings moved U.S. from -115 favorites to -140 favorites. That was after the Balogun red card,
right?
Reprieve. So, yeah, I think a lot of people probably looked at U.S. as like, wow, you know, they're going up against Belgium and they're still favored. I think a lot of that is because of momentum and the way that they've played, how they've gotten here. And I don't think it's that crazy to have favored U.S. They're riding more momentum now than they had maybe ever before, to be honest with you. I don't remember this country being this hot, the vibe being this real, at least, you know, in my adult lifetime. In World Cup soccer for Team USA.
Well, it just got more hype with the president getting involved. Here's Donald Trump talking about his reasoning behind making the call.
All I did, I asked for a review because I didn't think it was a foul. And, you know, again, I'm good at this stuff. I didn't think it was a foul. I thought it was two great athletes that crashed into each other and got entangled. That was not a guy punching somebody in the face or anything that, you know, would be different. And I think it's a terrible, if they wouldn't allow, you know, a top player, maybe the best, maybe among the best players on the team to play, I think it would have had a big stain. And I related just that feel. I didn't tell him what to do. I can't tell him what to do. And I don't believe he made the decision. I think it was a committee that made the decision. And they made the right decision because, number one, it wasn't a foul. And you want to see a game with your best players.
I love it. Absolutely. This isn't the New York Knicks,
mm-hmm.
right? This isn't the Dallas Cowboys. This isn't the New York Yankees. This isn't some pro team in a league that exists here in the United States and he just happened to be a fan of. This is the team that's representing our country. So if the president of our country has the power to make a phone call and make a difference, especially in a situation like that, because I couldn't agree more, by the way.
Going to be a great NFL player.
Yeah. But, the thought that a player could lose, literally miss this opportunity – forget about us as a fan, but the thought that a player that's worked his whole life to get to where he's at today, and they've got an opportunity in round of 16 to do something that's never been done in U.S. history, and he has to miss a game because of that.
Yeah,
like I agree. I think real soccer fans that just go, and Reg is one of them, I think they're crazy.
But
when you watch that and you go, oh, that's just soccer. If what we were fixing to be victims of, if that doesn't move you emotionally, then something's wrong with you. Well, you and the sport.
We don't have to worry about it now.
Good call.
It's done.
Fair.
Flo's going to play. It's going to be all good. But here is my problem. It took the freaking president of the United States to make a phone call to say, hey, this needs to be looked at again. We need to do something about this because what happened was not right. And he's right. We all saw it. Most of us at least have seen the play. What would have happened? What would have happened if the president doesn't make the phone call? Like, who else is making that phone call? Who else has got, the pull, the influence to make sure that this doesn't happen? This does not continue to be the case, and U.S. goes in shorthanded.
Also, tip the cap to FIFA. I mean, they get a lot of crap because of kind of how flyby.
Because of how crooked they are?
Well, the crookedness is one thing, but there's trust me, I'm just doing my due diligence. It appears that this is kind of making decisions like that as you go along and not being afraid to just use some common sense and not be, we're going to stick to our guns. Like, I tip my cap to them for being willing to make this adjustment. And now, to Trump's point, it would have been different if somebody would have walked up and punched somebody or kicked somebody or blew somebody's knee out with a dirty move. That was clearly an accident. There was no intention, to injure anybody there. I tipped a cap to Trump for making the call. Ron, the show, Ugly is out. Sean Bajani is in. We got a full squad tonight. I believe they kick off at 7. I'll be able to get home in time for that game. So mark your calendars right there. Set your reminder, 7:00. And let's see if the United States men's team can't do something in the World Cup that they've never done before. That is tonight. T-Mills on the ones and twos. We got a good show lined up for you, so stay plugged in. Again, 713-572-4610. You can text in at any point in time. Also, catch up at YouTube and Twitch. Monster weekend, not just for Balogun, not just for the U.S. men's team, but a monster weekend for them Stros, y'all. Should they be buyers at the trade deadline? That's next.
We're putting safety first.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
The national pastime.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron, the show. Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. Tyler Milner's on them steel wheels, as Luke Morrow calls it. Love that, by the way. Ones and twos is pretty slick, but the steel wheels is where it's at. Steel wheels. No, T-Mill on the steel wheels, baby.
That's even sexier.
That sounds like a late night, kind of maybe a little edgy talk show. Maybe you may throw a porn star or two in from time to time as a guest.
Remember, go ahead, Bajani.
You got a good idea for a podcast.
I might just steal that. Remember when I was starting out with you guys, Clint? Like, I'm talking the very first times I was running this show with you guys. We had a listener start texting in who listened every day with his mom. And he said his mom thought I sounded like one of them 1-800 number voices, like on a sex talk radio show or something.
Mom was trying to hit TV.
I was like, damn, I didn't know I was putting that on. Because I'm slick with it.
Yeah, I tell you what, we didn't know that these Astros were going to put off what they're putting off either. I don't know what that mama was interested in, but I know these, I don't know what she looked like, but I know these Astros are hot right now. I know that. It didn't take them long, Sean. They won 5 straight series. Then they had a little bit of a slide there, and then they come back. Didn't take them long to get back on that series winning side of things. They take 2 of 3 from the Rays, who the Rays were not only an extremely hot team, they snap a 9-game win streak, I think it was.
The Astros started that series with the Rays having won 8. Then, of course, they won that first game, so it was 9.
Yep.
And Astros take the last 2.
The Astros, they break that streak with the Rays. The Rays, I believe, were the best team in the American League.
Yep.
I believe at the time, I'm not real sure where they sit now after still dropping 2 or 3. Still there, okay. But the Astros are hot, winning 6 of the last 7 series. That's crazy. That's right. 6 of the last 7 series, including I think the 2 that stick out there is the Guardians were hot and above 500 at least when the Astros took 2 of 3 from them, and then obviously the Rays this weekend. They're 27-19 since May 15. They've been one of the hotter teams in baseball over the last handful of weeks. 45-47 overall, 2.5 games back the Mariners in the division, and 1 game back in the wild card race. It was a big weekend, I think, for several reasons. We saw some good, we saw some bad. Spencer Arrighetti rebounded, obviously needed a good outing. He had a pretty good outing and it lost in game 1, but it was a good outing. It wasn't the pitching that was the problem in that game. And then we don't see this much, but Hunter Brown in game 2, I believe it was, the wheels came off, and he had an uncharacteristically bad outing. But Yordan Alvarez was able to put an exclamation point on that thing in the bottom of 9 when he walked it off. And then that damn Peter Lambert, man. That damn Peter Lambert, boys, he just keeps doing his thing. I heard B. Scott talking about his last 8 starts. He's 5-1 or something like that. I mean, he is the sample size is getting bigger with Peter Lambert, and it's becoming more and more convincing, obviously, as we go along here. You talk about a great story coming out of, I guess, Japan last year and into the bigs this year. What a great story. He's pitching so well. But you can't talk about the Astros right now, Sean, without talking about the big fella.
Yeah.
What Yordan Alvarez is doing right now, he was 3-for-4 with 6 RBIs on July 4th. Happy birthday, America. And that's the game that he hit the home run to walk it off. Obviously in the MVP conversations right now and deservedly so, but boy, as long as he's in this lineup, Sean, he's the Astros have to be taken seriously moving forward.
There ain't no doubt about that. I mean, it's one of those things where Yordan has reached that point that we've seen him hit a few times over the years. He's gotten that Barry Bonds-esque treatment.
Yeah.
When you've got protection behind him, when Walker's going good, you know, they bat Pena there for a little bit when he was healthy in that 3 spot and it worked. They needed that to kind of get Yordan back on track, who was 0-for-16 for, you know, a couple of series ago in a little bit of a slide. But you don't see this kind of production and treatment from a guy but once every decade or so. I grew up with it, watching Barry Bonds get this kind of treatment.
That's right.
You know, to some other degree, Ken Griffey Jr., when he was healthy and rolling with the Seattle Mariners in his early days with the Cincinnati Reds, saw that because they were a rival of the Houston Astros in the NL Central. But this is just different level type stuff, and I don't think it's out of bounds. I don't think it's too much to say that Yordan Alvarez is absolutely – the reason why the Astros remain, you know, a team to look out for. They are not here without him because of everything that they'd gone through. The one constant this year has been Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's just been so good. How good has Yordan Alvarez been? Well, here's his current statistics, right? He's currently leading all of baseball in OPS. On base percentage, slugging, RBIs, total bases. He ranks first in the American League in extra base hits, first in homers with 29, first in hits with 104, first in runs, 62. He's second in batting average and fourth in walks. I mean, in a day and age where players are doing everything they can, including striking out more often, changing their swings mechanically to hit the long ball, Yordan Alvarez has the ability to really hit any pitch that he can reach out of the park, as well as hit for average. I ask y'all this, which, and I know before I ask it, Bijani, I know if you win one, you're probably going to win both, or you got a really good chance. if you were a hitter, would you rather have an MVP or a Triple Crown?
As a hitter?
By the way, Triple Crown, you lead, that would mean you lead Major League Baseball in average home runs and RBIs. That's your triple crown in Major League Baseball.
I guess individually, I would be more impressed. Like, hopefully it would be recognized. If you did get the Triple Crown, hopefully it's recognized right. with an MVP. Well, I know what you mean.
If he gets a Triple Crown, he's going probably gonna get, unless the Astros just, I mean.
And damn, man, he might very well get the Triple Crown. He's one percentage point entering today behind Yandy Diaz for batting average. Diaz hitting .321, Yordan's at .320. And so he might very well get that at season's end. But from an individual standpoint, like an accomplishment, like, yeah, it's the average, the power, and the run production. That is the trifecta. If you're able to accomplish that as an individual, that just speaks to, one, your well-roundedness as a hitter.
Yeah.
It also speaks to probably the success of your baseball club, because you're getting on base and you're driving in guys that are getting on base ahead of you, yeah, and you're doing it with efficiency, hence the average, which nobody cares about anymore. But I still think that's absolutely ludicrous. Yordan is having one of those very, very special, complete, well-rounded baseball seasons for a hitter.
You know, cross our fingers that he can stay healthy and keep up this tear. Even just keep it up enough to have that the topic of conversation, right? Stay right there in the average, keep the home runs up to where it's something that we as fans can follow. It would be really cool if he could accomplish it, obviously, but even if he falls a tad bit short, it's going to be hella fun to, as an Astros fan, to follow it and obviously cover it. So the Astros are rocking and rolling. We got a little bit more to dig into with the Stros. There is some talk out there, some reports that they may be awfully aggressive. I mean, really aggressive at the trade deadline. I got to get with Sean and find out, is that really a possibility? And if so, what does that look like? We'll discuss that as the show moves on here. But before we do that, man, look, talking about NFL superstars, we got one new beginning and we got one crashing out, y'all. We'll tell you who that is and we'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 60.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hughley is out. Bajani is in. T-Mills on the ones and twos. And we got to talk about a little, you can call it sports. You can call it entertainment. You can call it sports entertainment. Either way it goes, I find it interesting. I hope Bajani finds it interesting. The world finds it interesting. We have one new beginning and we have one crash out ending. And both situations, if you will, have to do with NFL players. We can start with the positive one. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce tied the knot
that.
Okay. In Madison Square Garden. And I'm gonna be honest with you boys, man. I'm disgusted. Coming from a man that got married later in life. And so it probably meant a little bit more to me than it would to my 42-year-old self, or what was I? What am I now? 43-year-old self than it would had I got married in my mid-30s, or maybe had I got married early on. I'll be honest with you, I'm disgusted with their shenanigans at their wedding. I mean, have you guys paid close attention to this? And I'll be honest, I think this started with Teeny Bopper Taylor at the Knicks, whatever game she went to, game five or game four, whatever it was, yeah, that she went to. And it was like two little schoolgirls on the sideline, three actually, little schoolgirls on the sideline in matching outfits, kind of jumping around and giggling and watching each other celebrate instead of like legitimately being into the game. Mm-hmm. And I know the NCIS girl that was with her or whoever the hell she was. I know she's legitimately a Knicks fan, but like it was just odd to me. Like every time the game was on, you could see them three standing up on the sideline, like awkwardly. Oh,
they stuck out like a sore thumb.
Right. It was weird. So I'll be honest, some of this stems from that. But like you go from that to the wedding being in Madison Square Garden and it being so highly publicized, and and it being having 1,000 guests at this thing, and it is a star-studded lineup of guests. Like, I feel like a wedding, y'all. I feel like a wedding should be a little bit more intimate and a little bit more family-oriented, right? And now, look, I can't relate to a star the degree of Taylor Swift, because maybe she doesn't have any friends. You know, maybe she doesn't have any family that she's trusted and could be that close to. But when you start reading off the names of people that were at her wedding, it's like there's just no way in hell that she was friends with all these people. Like, close enough friends with all these people to have them at her wedding. I mean, I guess it's cool that you're a star and these people want to come to your wedding, but
are they not having like another smaller, more intimate?
I don't know how true it is, but what I heard was that they were already married and this was just more of
this was more the put on
a show, right?
Okay,
But it just, like, I just feel like a wedding is something that shouldn't be played with. I've always respected that the In the Loop guys were talking about, like, Beyonce and Jay-Z. Whether you're a fan of them or not is irrelevant. I mean, it was as high profile a couple as we've had, and like their ability to keep their marriage and their kids and everything kind of
insulated.
Yeah, insulated is to me, I don't know. I think that there's just certain things in life that come and go, and to make a spectacle of one of those, which is marriage, especially an older marriage like this, and it's not 19-year-old kid, you know, doing it. It just seems like to me, it shouldn't be played with. And I'll be honest, I know I use a strong word. I'm disgusted with it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't even mind Adam Sandler. You know, doing the wedding. Well, that's cool. And then you've got some musicians, some big name musicians that played.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, whatever. I mean, that's cool. But for your wedding party to be in New York City and people are the paparazzi's following other actors around that are attending your wedding, like you as a musician, as hard as she works, she cannot be legitimately friends with that many people.
Who wants random-ass
people at their wedding?
But it's an event, I think, even for them. You know, whether their real wedding happened before or it's going to happen after, like, that's more intimate with the family.
Yeah.
That is an event. That kind of like Princess Diana's wedding from back in the day, like whenever I was a little kid. We still got that thing on VHS. It's like portion of a Super Bowl and then boom, the rest of it, Princess Diana's wedding. Yeah. That was a thing. That's just kind of what they do. That's royalty. Well, this is kind of like American royalty. I mean, it's Taylor Swift, the biggest star in the world, and one of the better football players, right, in this country that we've seen the last decade, right? And so I think from their perspective, this is all entertainment and an event and a star-studded one as well, just as if, like, they were going to go to the Golden Globes, Academy Awards, or Oscars, or whatever. That's all that it is. And you have to take it for what it is.
I mean, I get it. I get it. I get your explanation.
It's a wedding.
To me, I just think that is something that is, you know, if you want to have a party somewhere afterwards and couch it as a party, and hey, we're gonna have a big ass reception for all of everybody that's in our Rolodex that's famous, and we want to make this thing. We want to make something out of it. Cool. We want to televise. We want to make a documentary out of it. What do you want to do? Cool. I just believe, to me, in my opinion, again, taking from a man that got married late, I ran from it for a while, it just seems a little bit fake to me. It's something that, not fake in the right word, it's just, it's something that shouldn't be played with.
Did you outpace me, by the way, running from marriage? I got married whenever I was, how old am I? I'm 43.
I got married at 41 or 42. I don't know. How old am I?
Yeah,
I got married at 42, I think.
Damn, when did I get married? Holy crap. All right, 2013.
You should probably know this, bro.
Pressure.
Hopefully wife ain't listening.
6-7-6. I did it on purpose, and it doesn't work out mentally. It was 6-7-13. 6 plus 7, 13. It's supposed to make sense to me, and it never does. So 2013, I was born in 82. How old am I?
I outpaced you.
31, too. Yeah.
I outpaced you.
Yeah, yeah, by a lot.
42. Come on now.
Good job by you.
10 years, man. Yeah, I ran.
I felt pretty good about.
I was always a try hard. I damn sure would run hard, hustle. Tyler, what about you? You feel you picking up what I'm putting down, or am I crazy?
In what way?
I mean, just the whole Taylor Swift, like that. Your wedding involving. I mean, we're talking about. I just had it pulled up. We're talking about Tom Hanks. You're talking about Jennifer Lopez, Fergie, Wayne Gretzky, Selena Gomez.
The fact that Adam Sandler Steven was officiating Spielberg. Is pretty gimmicky.
Well, but that would be, I mean, to me, that part of it's pretty cool. If you are close enough to one actor like Adam Sandler and you've developed a relationship with him over time, to have him actually officiate the wedding would be cool. Like musicians, like I had Joe Nichols, a country music artist, he's been a friend of mine for a long time. He was going to play at our, kind of like just do a little acoustic set at our, it wasn't even a reception. It was a reception, but it was a brunch wedding, so it was kind of on a deck, and it was just going to be play, you know, five or six songs and keep it moving. But I've known Joe for 15 years,
that's
right?
Cool.
So that was like a cool touch. Now, this to me, I don't know. I look at a wedding like this ain't no place for this. So
they went all out on it for sure. I don't know that I had too much of like a grinding my gears annoyance with it for me personally, but I can tell you this: if I was a patron of New York City or of that area. And it, you know, effed up my day, if not couple of days, I'd be pissed. I would be pissed.
That's fair.
I wonder if they kept that AC below 78 up there.
I wonder if they
were allowed to turn that thermostat down during that deal. Boy, that's bad. But that is the new beginning. For what it's worth, I do wish Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, I do wish them a healthy, happy marriage and future.
Texter gives it 7 months, by the way.
7 months. My mom gave it a year. Granny gave it a year on the way home. We were listening in the loop and they were talking about it. So Granny gave him a year. All right. The crash out ending. Look, Brandon Ayuk, I think we're all familiar with him, or most sports fans are. I mean, my man appears to be crashing out. We can paint this to be. Now, I've seen some recent reports that some of these messages that are going back and forth on social media, some people are kind of painting them. Oh, they're pulling each other's leg. It's two friends joking. I just can't take it that way. Every time I see Brandon Ayuk, whether it's every video, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter, I think this guy has no chance. This guy doesn't get it. Nobody is going to take a chance on him. Look, the guy that would have to trade him if he were going to be traded or release him in a friendly way to let him move on in his career. He's already made a video, you know, hammering him. So he's burning bridges left and right. And now, you know, there's a video out there, him talking about Jaden Daniels. Here's the audio from that video.
Probably gonna text me talking about something. You on my team now. You follow my rules. Boy, I'm a grown ass man, boy. You gonna have to start running behind your mama, and I might believe what you're talking about. But until then,
I don't know if it's
wild.
I don't know if it's real or not. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I've been in a lot of locker rooms, y'all. This guy strikes me as a guy that's crashing out.
I mean, every video that he's done over the course of the last couple of weeks, like the one in the closet where he's, you know, making it, you know, throwing money on the on the floor. And
yes,
stuff.
It's
like,
all crash all, out.
They're crashed out ultimately, but they're all contrived. Like, he's thought about that and how to do this, what message he wants to portray. And this one, like, for a dude that has been saying, I want to be a commander, I'm going to be a commander, just waiting on the 49ers to get off their ass and release me. Why would you, the team that you want to go play with, why would you talk crap about the quarterback
for
that team?
Well, to be fair, a lot of folks now are saying that they're both going back and forth and they're just buddies that know each other and it's not that serious. I have a hard time to look at it knowing what Brandon Ayuk has been up to and kind of what comes with him at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know that sipping on what appears to be a glass of wine and to your point, because I don't hear that as calling him a mama's boy either, by the way. I mean if that is real, I would find that disrespectful. I'm a mama's boy. You can call me a mama's boy all you want, but if you make it sound like I can't do nothing without my mama, now you're questioning my manhood. So I don't know. We'll see where this thing goes. I'll be honest with you. I would bet a big chunk of money that we've got crash out broke on our hands with Brandon Ayuk before we see him playing again. We'll find out. Stay plugged in. And if anything pops in the Brandon Ayuk front, we'll have it for
you. Did you see what Jaden Daniels posted on Instagram and then deleted?
No, what was it?
Enjoy retirement, pal.
There you go. Yeah, them jokes between Arizona State teammates that were reportedly really good friends. Seems like they're getting awfully sharp, right? We'll see. All right, y'all, Texans training camp cranks up in 3 weeks. We're 3 weeks from it, boys. We got a team meeting, I think, on the 20th to get lined up for it, so you know it's right around the corner. What Texans need to break out the most? Break out the most, right? You can pick anybody you want that hadn't broke out. You can't name Nico Collins. You can't name Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson. Somebody that ain't broke out yet. Somebody that's kind of off the radar. Somebody that needs to have a monster year. We'll tell you who that is, and we'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.